Thank you for your warm welcome. Before I came, I was told that my message this morning will be beamed overseas to China and South Korea and hopefully North Korea too. So in a way, I was very excited that God has raised up this wonderful ministry to have the messages of the Bible beam not only to China and Korea, but globally. And that is tremendous, tremendous. And I pray that the Lord will truly bless this internet-based media to beam the gospel. And I felt that I may pray, Lord, what then shall I speak on this morning? So I thought of this passage from Matthew chapter 24, particularly verse 14, where Jesus commands that the gospel is to be preached to all nations of the world. That is his command. And it is a divine command. So this is something that I thank God for, Hope Church. That through this internet-based media, it will be beamed globally. Now my theme this morning is Jesus is the only way. Now many years ago, I was traveling around Africa with a mission team, and there was a particular song, a gospel song, that we sang in the streets and everywhere we went around Africa. And I'll just read to you the lyric of this song. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. If you have some question in the corners of your mind and the traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of the past, they seem to face you every day. There's one thing I know for sure, that Jesus is the way. Let me hear you now. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. And the chorus goes again. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. I know you got mountains that you think you cannot climb. I know that your skies have been dark. You think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know, I'm here to tell you that the word of God is true. And everything that he promised, I tell you, he will do it for you. Let me tell you that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Indeed, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. So that is the gospel song. Here in Australia, in a multicultural community, increasingly, when I declare that Jesus is the only way, you know what is going to happen? It's going to provoke anger and dispute, because it is considered too arrogant and too exclusive to be accepted by all. But why do I proclaim that Jesus is the only way? Because Jesus says He's the only way. And through Him alone, it is only, He's the only way to enter the kingdom of God. And where did Jesus say that He's the only way? In the Bible. Well, let me draw your attention to a particular verse in Matthew's Gospel, and that is chapter 24 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. I want to draw your attention to this particular verse. And this, Jesus says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Jesus wants the good news of the gospel to be preached to all the nations as a witness of the power of God unto salvation, regardless of your race, your religion, or culture, or the nation that you come from. For this verse, verse 14 in Matthew chapter 24, is a crucial and pivotal verse in the context of the prophetic warnings of Jesus about the last days, or what we call the end times. By the way, the Bible way of understanding the last day is simply the time frame between Jesus' first coming as the babe of Bethlehem and Jesus' second coming as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The setting of this statement is in regard to the future events or happenings before He comes again as King and as the judge of the world for unbelievers. I have been involved in gospel mission for about 40 years now. I'm sure you know, there are many people outside the church that whenever you mention the name of Jesus or the name of God, they will usually react by asking, "But can you prove that there is a God? Show me the proof. Then I will believe." Have you experienced that? My friends, if you have not come to trust or put your faith in the finished work of the cross of Jesus to save you from a sinful condition, then I will tell you a factual proof from the Bible, the very Word of God. Today, if you want proof, then just look at the Jews, the Jewish people. The Jewish people are still around and in existence. You see, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 3, let me just read to you these three verses. "And when Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple, and Jesus said unto them, See not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And He said upon the Mount Olive, the disciples came unto Him privately and saying, Tell us, when shall this thing be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world?" Here you see in Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 to 3, there was a request by Jesus' disciples who wanted to know privately the future events or happenings, and what in particular are the sign of His coming again. Now here is the proof in Jesus' Olivet Sermon. Firstly, verse 2, Jesus predicted about the destruction of the temple and the city of Jerusalem. Not one stone left. Now this is to imply total destruction of the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, the holy temple, and the sending of the Jewish people into exile. If you read your Bible, if you read the history of the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, now what happened there? Well, it is a historical fact that in AD 70, the Roman army under General Titus brought the utter destruction of Jerusalem in the temple. And the Jews, or the Jewish people, were scattered to the four corners of the world in exile. And for almost 2,000 years, the Jewish people were without a homeland. And there was no nation of Israel for many, many centuries. That is why we always say the wandering Jews. They are wandering everywhere without a homeland for 2,000 years. But in 1948, this is a fact. There was this sudden rebirth of the nation of Israel. How is it that people, the Jewish people, scattered for 2,000 years, wandering without home, suddenly back to the land? This is a modern miracle. God is behind it. The God of the Bible is behind it. How many of you have listened to the Jewish anthem? It's very interesting. Even though the nation on the whole are in a state of unbelief, let me just read a portion of the Jewish anthem called the Haktiva. As long as the Jewish spirit is yearning deep in their heart, with eyes turned toward the east, looking toward Zion, then our hope, the 2,000-year hope, will not be lost. The land of Zion and Jerusalem. So if you ask me the proof, whether there's God, I will tell you, look at the Jewish people, the Jews. They are back in the land after 2,000 years of being expelled from their homeland. For those still in unbelief in Jesus, the Messiah. But Romans 11 tells us that one day they will believe. Another reason why Jesus wants the good news to be proclaimed and to be preached to you is that He is the only way, the truth, and the life. It's because Jesus is the answer for the world today. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus does not paints a very pretty picture about future events or happening in this world between His first coming and second coming, before the history of mankind will draw to an end. For in history, Jesus is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Now let us look at a few prophetic warnings given here in Matthew chapter 24. Verses 4 to 5. Let me just read to you verses 4 to 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then also verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And also verses 23 to 26. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophet, and shall show great signs and wonder, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not far. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Believe it not. Here, in this passage, Matthew 24, Jesus reiterates many times, a few times, the danger of being deceived by falsehoods. Now, we all live in a world of fakes. There are a lot of fakes around. I almost got conned so many times because it looks so real. Now, the fakes often look so real. Jesus is the truth, and my friends, be warned of the devil's fake religion, which have great followings. Don't just join the clubs following the fake religious gurus. And then Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. Jesus, for he says, and he shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes, and in divers places. And verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrow. So this is why Jesus insisted that gospel must be preached to all the nation of the world. Because the world is not getting better. It's getting worse. It's the beginning of sorrows. Now all these signs will lead to the coming of the final judgment of God. And it is inevitable if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, who is God's only way to enter God's kingdom. Judgment is inevitable if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why smack right in the midst of Jesus' prophecy of doom and gloom on earth in the end time, here in verse 14, another message. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, then shall the end come. The world outside God is under the wrath of God. My friends, if you do not believe in Jesus as the Holy One who died on the cross as the substitute to save you from the wrath of God against sin, you will perish in your sinful condition. Sin will be punished when the day of reckoning of the final judgment of God is come. But God is not slack concerning His promises. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Will you repent of your sin? You know, the gospel was preached by Noah for 120 years before the great destruction by a global flood. Now the next global judgment will be by fire. Repent of your sin and turn to Jesus as the only way of salvation and safety for your soul. Will you come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, as He had already paid in full to save you from going to hell? God is merciful and long-suffering toward us, towards you, towards me. However, there is going to be an end of history, and God's final judgment will come sooner or later, whether you like it or not. Here is the good news of the gospel that we are declaring to you. God provided a way in Jesus Christ, the only way. For Jesus Christ has founded a new humanity as the new Adam. For ever since the first Adam fell into sin, since the dawn of history, God has come into His kingdom and entered, has given the call to come into His kingdom and to enter heaven in order to be saved before the final calamity comes. There is definitely an impending judgment to come when a great division of goats and sheep between believers and unbelievers. And that will take place when Christ comes. And before that takes place, the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the world. This good news is to be preached, then shall the end come. Have you discovered how to enter into the kingdom of God? Life is precious and uncertain. Every day, we hear about friends, relatives, or maybe someone you do not know, pass on. Life is precarious and uncertain. Death is certain. But you do not know the hour when you will expire. Now, many wants to come to Australia and want to be permanent resident here. Permanent resident. You mean forever? No. We are temporary citizen. We are temporary resident. One day, you and I gotta go. But where are you going? Where are you going? Make sure. So the urgent matter, how can one arrive at this place of safety in God's kingdom to come? You know, Jesus taught the characteristic of His kingdom in His sermon on the Beatitudes. He says to the great teacher of the law, that is Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a great teacher of the law, a rabbi, you must be born again. A new birth, a new nature to enter God's kingdom. Without being born again, without a new nature, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. All of us came into this world by physical birth. But we need a spiritual birth, a spiritual birthday. A spiritual birth is needed to enter the spiritual kingdom of God. There's no other way. You got to enter by the way of the cross, which is a narrow way. Now, secondly, I would like you to turn to me the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation, that is Revelation chapter 5. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 5, the book of Revelation gives us a glimpse of heaven. And that is good news. Such a kingdom. The coming kingdom. It's no kidding, it's real. There's one person who makes an entire difference. 2,000 years ago when he has spoken, he holds out this hope in him. So my friend, one thing to do is to look at him, to consider him. Jesus Christ is the key to the whole of history and time. Now here in the fifth chapter of Revelation, is revealed the mystery of history. What is the meaning of history and when is it leading to an end? The mystery of history is sealed in a scroll or a book. Then, let me read to you the first few verses. Revelation chapter 5, and I saw, that is the Apostle John, he says that, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof? Verse 3, no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And verse 4, and John he says, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed, open the book, and to loose the seventh seal thereof. You see, the mystery of history is sealed in a scroll, a book. A scroll with seven seals, all sealed up, locked up. And the Apostle Paul saw it, and he was weeping. He was crying. Why was he doing that? Because he already saw something that was troubling him. He was a prophet, the Apostle John, who saw this seven seal scroll, was a prophet of despair. And he was alarmed, and he was weeping. Because in verse 3, he saw that there was no man in heaven nor in earth. Neither the earth was able to open the book, neither to look there upon it. He looked around, nobody. And verse 5. Verse 5, weep not. So he was told not to weep. There is one strong and has the capacity to open the seal, scroll, or book. And who was that? Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, is the only one who can open and reveal the seventh seal. Therefore, brothers and sisters, to look at Jesus is to find hope. Because he's the one who can open and reveal the seven seal. To look at him, we got to look at him. Because the future is dark. Jesus unfolds the scroll of history. Because he is the Lord of history. He came into history. He entered into history. You know, if you read the history of man, read the philosophy of man, at the end of the day, you will only end up in despair and hopelessness. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of history. He controls history. He entered history. And he can bring history to conclusion. So, brothers and sisters, we must focus our gaze, our look upon Jesus, for he is our only hope in a darkening world. Thirdly, Jesus, why is Jesus the only way to enter God's kingdom? It was foretold 2,000 years ago as what is going to happen. Look and listen to the claim of Jesus of Nazareth. The Old Testament points to him as the seed of the woman, he will bruise the serpent's head. And he was the promised deliverer to come. Scripture focuses on this person, the babe of Bethlehem, a carpenter of Nazareth, a Galilean. This is how our Lord Jesus Christ entered. This is how you enter the kingdom of heaven, because Jesus Christ is the Lord of history, the Master and the Lion of Judah. He says to you and me today, follow me. It is indeed a command to follow him today. He says, I am the light of the world in this world of darkness. Are you groping in the dark? He can open your blindness today if you say, yes, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Have you ever wondered what is death and beyond death? He alone knows, because he died on the cross and was buried and rose again to conquer death in the grave. He can take away your fear of death and beyond death. Brothers and sisters, have you thought about this matter of death? You know, Chinese people don't like to talk about death. Choi. Don't say it. They don't like the letter four, especially Cantonese, because it sounds like death. Don't talk about it. Bad luck. But have you talked about it? Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can take away that fear of death beyond the grave. What God is like, we can only make speculation about God. Whereas Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So Christ is the one who gives us light on God, hope beyond the grave. You know, I have a very good friend who is an elder in Singapore. He always calls me up and share about, as we are getting older, you know, there are certain fears and uncertainty. Because our dear brother is an elder, he's now a widower. He's always thinking what is beyond. Because he has seen his dear wife pass on. His brother just passed on. The sister now very sick with cancer. One after another in the family is moving on. So they are being human. There are times he got frightened. And he'll call me up. Brother, can you pray with me? You know, I see death around me, one after another, and I'm scared, frightened at times. So I always spend time with him. Almost every day he calls me and we have time to pray together, to reassure each other that we are kept by Christ, kept by the power of God. Well, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. By me, any man enters into God's kingdom. I am come that you might have life. If I am lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And Jesus told Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. And Jesus indeed is the eternal Son of God. Why did he claim that I am the door? For he alone admits us into his kingdom. Why? We can't do it on our own. Nobody kept the commandments. You break one, you break all. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We are undone and cannot save ourselves. You know, Jesus came not to reform the world. He didn't come as a social reformer. This world and all therein is beyond reform and is doomed. How does he set up his kingdom? By what he does, had done, and going to do. In the fullness of time, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, God, who has sundry time and in diverse manners spake in time, passed unto the Father by the prophets, had in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed of all things, by whom also he made the world. At Pentecost, we see the wonderful works of God. That's what the Bible is all about, a record of the wonderful works, acts of God. The Lord Jesus Christ entered history of time and form via the incarnation. He's indeed the only begotten Son. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I am the door. In the book of Philippians, we see the humility of Christ. He was obedient unto death on the cross. The good news of the gospel is that the second person, you know, the second person of the triune God has come, left his glory, gone down to earth to be subjected to humiliation, enter the virgin womb, momentous facts, the everlasting eternal Son of God became flesh to become the door for us, in order for us to enable us to enter eternity. When Jesus came, he left the glory of eternity. This is what it calls him, the co-maker of heaven and earth, who is the Son of God, has tabernacled among us. He was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in order to open the door of the kingdom for us. In combat, in mortal combat with the devils, he's the deliverer who set us at liberty. He says, if you know the truth will set you free. Brothers and sisters, my friend, do you know the truth? Do you know Jesus is the truth? If you know he's the truth, he will set you free. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. He ride on majesty on a donkey, when he could have called on legions of angels. And he died on the cross for us, so that we can receive eternal salvation. He was raised for our justification. He was the devil's nightmare when he hung on the cross of humiliation. He was buried and resurrected on the third day. He was given the kingdom by God the Father. Thus, there's no other ways, for he is the only way. Crucified to take the sins of the world. That's why he came to die on the cross to save us. And that is why Jesus says, this gospel of kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness to all the nations. Then shall be end come. So my friends, brethren, the only way to get into the kingdom is through Jesus Christ. He is the door into heaven. Will you enter today? Those of you who have not come to faith in Christ, come to make him your Savior. He is the only way, the doorway into heaven. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, you have also commanded us to go and preach the gospel to all nations, a witness to all the nations. Only when you have done that, then only you will come again. Because, Lord, you have been long-suffering. You're not willing any should perish. Lord, I want to thank you for Hope Church. We want to thank you especially that gospel message is not just contained within the four walls of this church, that you have raised up a very vital ministry to proclaim and to beam this gospel of hope around the world through modern technology. Lord, continue to pray that you will give wisdom, Pastor Key, and the leadership of this church. That Hope Church will truly be a blessing to many outside this church community. And many more will come to hear this message of salvation. Lord, we are living in a world that is not getting any better, but is getting from bad to worse. And we pray that we will carry out this great responsibility of making the gospel message known, so that many more will enter by the way of the cross. For our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. So we thank you that here in Hope Church, most of us, dear Lord, have found the way of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. We in particular pray for those in the church who have yet to make that very vital decision between heaven and hell, that they will do it today, for today is the day of salvation. For we give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.